Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I always appreciate the opportunity to get together with you and spend a little time talking about important issues and just reflecting on how we can apply biblical principles to daily life situations. Ted Ross at the controls, and Ted, welcome to Monday.
Yeah, here we are. We made it through, and we made it through the day thus far, I guess you could say.
I know that you had... we were just talking a little bit before the show about weekends. I know your daughter got back from a little missions experience.
Yeah, pretty amazing. She's going into eighth grade now, and her first mission trip experience with the youth up to Thunder Bay, Canada. And boy, she had quite an experience out of the gates of just an encounter with a gal that wasn't too happy that she was in her yard. You know, they were doing a community garden. She's going around the side of the house to place rocks somewhere, and this gal used colorful language and told her, you know, hey, get out of my yard, basically. And she just was a little bit taken aback by that. But then we talked about it, you know, when she got back and said, well, you know, you don't know where people are coming from. Everybody's hurting, and we'll be praying for her. And we did that. But
it's, you know, it's a challenge to know the right answers for your kids at whatever age. And that's,
it really is, you know. And then we try to get some wisdom, too, from our parents, you know, and what were we taught and what was that age like for us and how does that all come into play. And the dynamics can be kind of interesting, especially with families today and the way that they're made up.
Well, I was thinking about this in light of today's discussions. We're going to talk about stepmoms today, step-parenting. And you think if the statistics are, you know, true, it's what, about 4 out of 10 grow up in a home with in a single-parent situation. So, you know, there's some interesting added dynamics there where, you know, holidays and things where you're going – you know, it's not just one place you're going to. It's going to a couple of places. And you've had a little bit of experience with that, too.
We have, yeah. My wife, her folks separated, divorced when she was younger, like in junior high. And so her dad remarried. So she's grown up with a stepmom, and she's a great lady. I've gotten to know her, too. And, you know, there is that dynamic, though, of, okay, Christmas Eve with your mom and then the stepfamily, and how does that work? And, you know, time with the grandkids, and you're navigating a lot of different things.
Yeah, and just to I guess to kind of get along, I mean, too, because the blended family, it doesn't always necessarily blend. I mean, it takes a while.
It does, you know, and I think having the faith component is key for us. I mean, we rely on that and stand on that. Not everybody in the extended family are necessarily believers even, so that adds another wrinkle to it. So we're just trying to do that dance.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about some ways, some practical tips. That's what I love about today's guest, is that there are practical tips and experience that you can put into practice today. And so as we talk a little bit about stepmoms today, you're going to get some great advice, biblical encouragement coming up. So I invite you to stay tuned to today's program on Connecting Faith. Laura Petherbridge is an international author and a professional speaker on the subjects related to singles, divorce, recovery, divorce prevention, step families, relationships, spiritual growth. And she has written a brand new book called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. It's a down-to-earth book, provides some real answers for someone who's walked in those shoes, not only survived but thrived as a stepmom. And Laura Petherbridge on with us on Connecting Faith. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Neil. Great to be with you.
I was just mentioning before the show, it was, I think, maybe a year or so ago, you were on with Julie, Cindy, and Heather when the program The Conversation was on, and did such a great job of offering wise advice, and this book is no exception. Lots of great advice, but you know, easy to read, but just not only good tips but good insights. And let's start with the first question, because in the book you have it divided up sort of in major sections, and the first chapter is this question: why is it so complicated, Laura? Why is this so complicated?
Yeah, that's probably the most common question I receive. It's so complicated because all stepfamilies are birthed on loss. There is no stepfamily that has formed that either there wasn't a death, a divorce, a broken relationship. So in order for the stepfamily to have formed in the first place, a loss had to have occurred. And so when you're building a new relationship on a foundation where there's been loss, that means there's grief, there's fear, there's anger, there's resentment, there's all sorts of emotions that you don't normally have in a first-time marriage. So that's why it's so complicated. It comes with a tremendous amount of emotion and the grieving process.
Well, and I guess that probably, and I know it's not necessarily what this book is about, but it probably does raise a word of caution about starting a stepfamily too soon, right?
That's for sure. But many people think it's going to be much easier than it actually is. And so I would totally agree with that. Take more time rather than less to form a stepfamily.
One of the, so let's talk about, you know, the terms. And I mean, you're a stepmom, and does that term bother you? I mean, do you want to be called mom by your stepchildren?
No, the term doesn't bother me. I know it does bother some women, and that's why they've come up with phrases like blended family or bonus mom or things like that. To be honest, most kids don't like those phrases. You know, the moms, the stepmoms like them, but the children often don't like them. But no, I don't mind the phrase stepmom. I had two stepmoms growing up. My dad remarried twice after the divorce from my mom, so I had two stepmoms growing up. I thought that prepared me for how to be a stepmom. That was totally naive and incorrect, but the phrase doesn't bother me because that's what I am. I really had a turning point in my stepmom journey when I realized that to my two stepsons, who were 11 and 13 when we got married, I am their father's wife. This is who I am to them. This is who I am in their eyes. That doesn't mean they hate me. That doesn't mean they dislike me. I am their father's wife. And that was really very freeing. And so, no, the phrase doesn't bother me. As a matter of fact, I tease them. We've been married 28 years now, so I tease the boys that, you know, I call myself the wicked stepmom sometimes, and we laugh about it. So, I had to lay that down.
Okay. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. You may have a question about relationships and the whole step-parenting relationship, some great practical advice today from Laura Petherbridge. Laura, you mentioned that, you know, you your home experience had two stepmoms. You thought that would prepare you. And in what ways, I guess, didn't it prepare you? Or what were your misconceptions, maybe?
I didn't realize that the journey, the stepmom journey, would be so lonely, would be so isolated. You know, I grew up watching the Brady Bunch, so I assumed everybody bonds and blends and likes each other. And yeah, you might have a few bumps in the road, but I was totally unprepared for just the sense of isolation, the sense of disrespect I started to feel for my husband when I felt he wasn't parenting. When I felt he wouldn't step up to the plate and be a parent, what in my mind, in my view, was the proper way to parent, it caused me, first of all, to become angry with him. But then as time went on and it didn't change, it made me disrespect him. And so I had to really get a hold of those emotions because it was causing an issue in our marriage. And so that was probably one of the biggest and the most surprising is how angry I was at him for his parenting or lack of parenting. And actually, it's very common in a stepfamily.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that maybe in a moment about, you know, how do you parent in a step-parent situation. We're talking with Laura Petherbridge, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. We probably won't get to all 100, but there's some great expert advice today. So what should or does the new normal look like? I mean, do we have unrealistic expectations of what it should be? You mentioned that, you know, you thought it would be all blending and nice, and it wasn't quite that way.
No, yes, it's just such a shock. It's almost like a tsunami of emotions. And the funny thing is that many kids get along fine with the step-parent or the future step-parent before the marriage. But the day of the wedding, I've lost track of how many stepmoms and stepdads have told me this. The day of the wedding, the child turns on the step-parent. And there's a very good reason why that happens. for the couple, for the adults, they view this as new love, as something positive, as something beneficial. I've got a second chance at love again. But the child views this very differently. To them, it is a loss. They have lost their parent to this new marriage. Now, you and I as adults know that, you know, they haven't really, the parent's not going anywhere, but in a way, they're right. This, they've become one flesh now in God's eyes and in the world's eyes with another person. So, for example, they have to move to the back seat. And this is true even if the child is an adult. Sometimes we think adult stepchildren don't struggle with any of these issues, but that's not true at all. So there's a loss for the child. They've lost that parent, in a way, to the new relationship, and it's a grief for them. It's a loss. It's a one more loss in this whole just gambit of emotions.
Even but up until that time, they may be supportive and encouraging and friendly.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they thought this was great. I had a mom tell me recently that her kids said, "We like it when Dad has a girlfriend, when he's got a new lady in his life, because then we have real meals and there's toilet paper in the house when we go over for visitation." I just thought that was so funny. But you see, once he marries that woman, oh no, now she's in the home, now she's an authority. Authority figure. Wait a minute. This is not what we were bargaining for.
One of the areas that you talk about is the whole area of sort of the husband's parenting traits. And I'm wondering, you know, do most women so know enough about their, or I suppose it's, you know, husbands knowing wives as well, but do they know enough about each other's parenting traits before marriage? And what would you recommend there?
Unfortunately, a common problem in single parenting, in particular for dads, is that they become very lenient because they're parenting out of guilt or shame. They feel that their child is suffering, which is true, and so rather than be good at discipline or good at setting some boundaries or getting some single parenting training on how to lovingly be a parent but yet still discipline and set boundaries and allow consequences, and it's not at all uncommon for dads to let all of that slide during the single parenting, and then when they enter a new marriage, for some crazy reason, we stepmoms think that's going to change when he gets remarried, or that we're going to step in and make this happen. These kids are going to start to obey. And that is ridiculous, because if he wasn't parenting well, or if he was parenting out of guilt as a single parent, he's going to parent that same way when he gets remarried. And so this causes all sorts of problems in the second marriage.
We'll talk more about it in a moment in some encouragement for wives, stepmoms, when the husband maybe isn't stepping up. We're not going to pick on husbands completely here this hour, but we invite you to, no, actually, we won't really pick on them at all, but we're just going to talk about how we can have better relationships of stepmoms, stepdads. We're talking 101 tips for the smart stepmom, expert advice from one stepmom to another. Laura Petherbridge is my guest today.
Stay tuned. More of the best of Connecting Faith in just moments. Now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
We're at 18 past the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. Today we connect with Laura Petherbridge. Laura's an international speaker. She's author of When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. She's co-author of The Smart Stepmom. And, of course, she's been interviewed on Folks in the Family, Family Life Today. And we've had her on a conversation here on Faith Radio in the past. And happy to welcome her to Connecting Faith about talking about her new book, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. So we're talking a little bit before the break about, you know, sometimes dads parent out of guilt. And you expressed Laura, in your own experience, that you get a little frustrated when you wanted to step in when your husband wasn't stepping up. Talk a little bit more about that. And, you know, is there anything wrong with, you know, dad trying to keep the peace?
Yes, that's where it gets so complicated. The poor hubby, you know, he just wants to keep peace. And when he makes his kids happy, his wife is unhappy. When he makes his wife happy, his kids are unhappy. And then throw into the mix that normally whatever he does, the former spouse is unhappy. So he's got all kinds of people pulling at him. And so, yes, we're definitely not throwing Dad under the bus. He is in a very, very awkward situation. But that's why it's so critical to get help for these issues and learn what the issues are going to be before they occur, because sometimes keeping the peace is a good idea, but sometimes it's being a peaceaholic rather than a peacemaker. You know, Jesus was a peacemaker, but a peaceaholic is peace at all costs, and so that can be very dangerous. And children need boundaries. So we you know, it's just a very difficult position for him, and I encourage them to get help on how to co-parent, both the step-parent and the biological parent, and then how to co-parent between the two homes. And that can be done through resources such as mine or Ron Deal's, you know, going to classes, going to step-family events. That's really how you get training, because there's very little available. You parent differently in a step family than you do in a first time family. And when people try to go to regular parenting classes to get help on this, they often come away more frustrated than when they started because it doesn't work that way. It backfires. So that's why, you know, if the stepmom is in a situation where Dad will not parent, she's got to learn how to step back and let Dad suffer some of the consequences for not parenting, rather than stepping into his role that she does not have the authority to do, because then the kids get mad at her, they become resentful of her because she's not the parent. She does not have the authority in their eyes to set those rules. And so it just turns into a big mess.
And does that is that true at, if your, you know, children are, you know, 4 and 6 as opposed to, you know, 14 and 16?
Well, there you go. There's the big question. See, it really does vary depending on the age of the children and one other thing, the visitation of the children. For example, I have so many moms that are full-time stepmoms, which is why I actually put a whole chapter in my book on the full-time stepmom. Because there are so many moms today walking away from their children, or they're mentally ill and they can't take care of their children, they have an addiction, and so the stepmom is now the full-time mother. Well, that's different. She has full-time custody, and the biological mom is often completely out of the picture for that child. And so she parents differently than the stepmom that only sees her stepchild 2 days a week, or, you know, occasionally once a month or something like that. So you're talking radically different situations. And if the child's real small, she's in the home, he or she is in the home 24/7, when you do have custody, obviously then the stepmom has a higher level of authority more quickly, but it still has to be Dad setting the ground rules and him telling his child, your stepmom is in charge when I am not here, and so there's going to be consequences if you don't obey. And it's got to start from him.
And that sounds like some important husband-wife communication that needs to happen maybe even before marriage, right?
Preferably before, yeah. But it very rarely does. Unfortunately, we live in this rose-colored glasses where we don't think it's going to happen to me. Everybody thinks, well, that happens to all these other poor step couples, but that's not going to happen to us. And until they get in it, and then they realize they were wrong.
Hmm. Well, you know, you talked about when mom is missing, that has its own set of kind of challenges, doesn't it? I mean, I think particularly for the kids, right? They, because clearly they know that, they're not seeing mom anymore.
That's right. It's a devastating experience when a child loses their mother, either because she chose to leave them or death, or there is a wound to the soul with the loss of a mother that is very different than anything else I've ever seen. I've been in ministry over 25 years, and Yes, daddy wounds are significant and they're difficult, but when there's the mommy wound, there's just something about that when a mother abandons her children, there is a wound to that the stepmom is really steps into almost being a counselor, a therapist. She has to get a lot of help in order to co-parent this child, because the child is in deep grief and often very angry, very depressed. Just it comes out in all kinds of ways as the child grows. Doesn't mean there can't be a happy ending. It doesn't mean the child can't get help and be okay. I don't want to be giving a doom and gloom. I'm just saying that for that child, the stepmom really is in a unique position where she's got to get intense help on how to co-parent a child that has lost their mother.
We've had Ron Deal on in the past, and he talks about that 7-year marker, that you know, whether it's grief or whatever, that a blend doesn't really happen. There's a lot of years. I mean, your kids are pretty much grown by the time they can actually start blending, it seems like.
That's absolutely correct. And 7 years, you ask almost any step family expert, and they will tell you that right about year 7, and people don't like hearing that. They think that's ridiculous. But almost all of them later will come back and go, yep, you were absolutely right. That's about how long it takes for the family members to start viewing each other as siblings, if they're ever going to. It usually starts happening right about that time. Some never get there. Some sometimes get there a little bit sooner, especially if they're together all the time. Again, the full-time step-parent, it can blend and bond sooner than that. But usually that's about how long it takes for the child to get. And part of that is because children are behind in the grieving process. For the adult, they usually take 2 to 4 years to grieve the death of a marriage, death or divorce. But the child is usually 2 to 3 years behind the parent in the grieving process, and that's why it takes so long.
Interesting. Laura Petherbridge is my guest today. We're talking about 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. We're going to talk a little bit about getting along with the ex-in-law, but it sort of sets up our first question. We have an anonymous listener who would like to talk with you, Laura. Go ahead. You're on with Laura Petherbridge.
Yes, thank you. I've been married to my husband 37 years. We do pretty good. His 2 grown children were even in our wedding, and they just love me to death. I'm a good person. I've made their dad a lot better person, and there's no reason that things would turn out the way they have. But his ex-wife has never remarried, and she has turned those children against me just severely. Like, they never call our home. They call his cell phone, and they just act like I don't exist. So I've had counseling on it. I've done everything I can humanly do to be their friend, but I just have had to move on.
Yes, and unfortunately, what you're describing is somewhat normal. People think that after you've been married a long time, that those things are going to go away, or that that eventually the kids will come around, and sometimes they do. What you are describing here is a loyalty to their mom, and children are fiercely loyal to a biological parent. That is true even if the parent is abusive, neglectful, dysfunctional, addicted, toxic. It to the child, that is their biological parent. And they will remain fiercely loyal to that parent, even if it means tossing aside a good, healthy, godly step-parent. They don't care. They would rather have the relationship and the loyalty to their own parent rather than embrace a step-parent. So if it comes down to, I either have to, you know, do what my mother says and dislike you or hate you, I will do that, not to make my own biological parent upset.
Laura, we're gonna jump in, take a quick break, and come back and pick up more on that, because I think there's some great insight here. This is probably one of the biggest challenges, and I want to give you a chance to unpack it a little bit more and provide some great insight. I want to mention, again, we're talking with Laura Petherbridge, international speaker and the author of When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce, She's also co-authored The Smart Stepmom. Her new book is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. And we'll continue with more in just a moment.
Back now to the best of Connecting Faith on Faith Radio. This is a previously aired encore presentation.
That's probably an important prayer for the stepmom trying to get along with the ex-wife-in-law. That is one of the topics that Laura Petherbridge has addressed in her new book, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. And Laura is an international author, professional speaker, talking about issues like divorce recovery, step-families, and relationships. You can find out more about her at the website thesmartstepmom.com, thesmartstepmom.com. And Laura, we had a call here just before the break. Say, you know, I've, you know, had a wonderful marriage, but the ex has turned the kids against me. And you said this is not uncommon. So, is there any advice for this and other listeners maybe in that same situation?
Yes, there is. It's understanding that the person who dictates what type of a relationship you will have with your stepchild is the stepchild. You can be the Mother Teresa, the Billy Graham of step-parent, and the child still can reject you, still can choose to not want you in their life. And so, now that doesn't mean we still shouldn't be reaching out and acting in a loving manner, but there's nothing wrong, like this woman described, and my heart so goes out to her because I can hear how she's tried for years and years and years to be a good stepmom. And see, she's a classic example. No matter what she does, no matter how loving she is, they have chosen not to embrace their father's wife. And they've done that because it would be a disloyalty to their mother. It will make their mother angry, or they themselves have formed an anger towards her that perhaps the former spouse is saying, this woman is the reason your father left me. Now, if that's not true, if it is true, well, that's a whole different topic. But if it isn't true, then she's just got to accept that they've believed a lie that their mother has told them. She can't change that. She can't fix that. All she can do is continue to be a good, loving example through loving her husband and let them go. Let dad have time alone with his kids. Let them call him on the cell phone. And dad should still be able to do a little bit of one-on-one with his kids so that when they get older themselves, they'll go, you know what? We must have really hurt our stepmom. And look at how she let us still have our dad. Because what happens, so many stepmoms will say, if they're not going to accept me, then they're not going to get you. And see, that's a mistake. So this woman sounds like she's doing just the right thing, is to let dad still have a relationship with his kids, keep doing loving things like occasionally sending a birthday card or a Christmas card, but emotionally set up a boundary there and say, you know what, I've done all I can do. I need to move on.
Wow, that's not so easy to do, though. She had a follow-up to Grace and said that, you know, the only time we hear from the children is on a holiday or a major event. My pastor counseled me not to run to pain. So should I stay away from events where I'm around these children, or should I continue to make an effort?
Well, there's several other factors to that. If you go to the event at Christmas or whatever, and you are emotionally able to get, you know, pray up beforehand, have friends that are praying for you, have a strong support system before and after, so that you can go there and behave in a loving manner. Doesn't mean you ooh and ah over them. You just go and be very gracious and very kind, and because it's just one afternoon, it's just one day. If you can do that emotionally, then I say yes, go and do that. Walk into places where you know you are not being loved. You know, there's not a loving atmosphere there, but you're doing it to respect and honor your husband. Now, if when you get there, they do hurtful things, they say mean things to you, they talk to you disrespectfully, if you're treated badly when you go there, that's when I would say then no, that is not called for, and I would say no, stay away from that. But if you can, go to the circumstance, especially if it's only occasionally, and be a loving example, knowing this is not about you. See, a stepmom has to constantly say to herself, this is not about me. This is about their pain. This is about the divorce. This is about having a mom that was more concerned about making her kids toxic than she was loving them. And so if you can do that, then I say go and be a good example to stand by your spouse. But for each woman, that's going to be a different circumstance.
Well, so you mentioned we talked a little bit about holidays and special events. So you spend some time talking about holidays, weddings, Mother's Day, and more. Sounds messy.
Yes, it is. I believe one of the greatest gifts I gave my sons, and one of the things I did learn from having a stepmom, I mentioned that I didn't learn very much from having stepmoms myself, but one thing I did learn was to give my stepsons the gift of their wedding day. And so when they got engaged, I went to them right up front and said, I am your stepmother, and I know how complicated weddings are in a stepfamily because I've lived it. If you don't want me there, if you don't want me sitting with the family, I'll sit in the back seat and just be quiet all day long. I won't interfere in anything if that makes it easier for you. If you want your mother and father in pictures alone and you don't want me in the pictures because you'd like to have one family photo of your parents together with you on your wedding day, I totally understand, and I will not be offended by that because I know what it's like to have your wedding be a battleground between your mother's side and your father's side, and I love you enough to give you that gift. Now, both of them had me as part of their wedding. One of them had me sing. The other one had me read a scripture. But that was their choice. I offered to sit in the back seat or to not even attend.
Vacations. You address vacations. Of course, it's, you know, we're getting toward that season where there might actually, you know, be weather so we could actually get out and enjoy, you know, the beautiful weather in the upper Midwest. But so how about, you know, step families in vacation?
Yeah, that can really be a nightmare. I just have so many stepmoms that tell me, oh my gosh, this was like the worst vacation ever. And that's because you come from different traditions. You're bringing children together that have different expectations. You have this idea in your mind that it's going to be this wonderful harmony of time together, and it turns into everybody fighting. It really, my suggestion is to make the, especially the first couple, make them short. Make them low intensity, like don't do your first big trip to Disney or something on your first step family vacation. You know, keep it very bite-sized. And the stepmom needs to understand that, you know, one of the things that was hard for me is I come from a big Italian family. I wanted my stepsons to enjoy the food and the fellowship and the laughter and the big Italian tradition. And when they had no desire to participate in that during the holidays, it hurt me a little bit. I had to realize, you know what? They already have their own family traditions. They don't want my traditions. I am not part of their family, really. They already had a mom and a dad traditions. Now, little by little over the years, they've embraced some of it and they like some of the food and they've gotten to know some of my family. But it hurt me a little bit in the beginning because I thought I was offering them this big, fun family thing. And then I discovered they didn't need or want it. So I had to let that go. See, there's a lot of letting go, Neil. There's a lot of saying, you know what? This is harder than I thought it was going to be. God's going to give me the strength and the perspective, and I need to step back and lower my expectations for what this was going to become.
Sounds like you've been kind of wearing them down, too, maybe, Laura.
Yes.
Yeah. Over the years.
I attempted them sure. With those cannolis and meatballs.
Just keep after it. You know, don't give up. Well, you know, we're talking a little bit about, sort of touched on, you know, maintaining a relationship with your husband's ex-wife. Just say a little bit more about that, because I know one of the things you address in the book is if your stepchildren say things that, you know, aren't true, you kind of address that. But how do we, you know, kind of keep some peace there and open relationship if possible?
It's advisable for the dad to be the one to communicate with his former spouse. Let's start with that. Often he doesn't want to. He often tries to delegate that to his wife, his new wife. And sometimes that works because we women in the home are usually the calendar keepers. So sometimes that works. But if you have a former spouse that is still very angry, very bitter, and you know what's the most ironic in those situations, I just have to throw this in there, is that it's the ex-wives that wanted out of the marriage that often are the most miserable to the new wife. And they're so shocked by that. They were like, why is she so miserable to me? She's the one who left the marriage. She's the one who didn't want to be married anymore. She's the one that went and had an affair. Why does she hate me so much? And it's one of those, she didn't want him, but she doesn't want anybody else to have him either. And so, you know, if it's that kind of ex-wife, you really need to let the husband be the one to deal with his former spouse. And as the stepmom, you need to step back. And I see so many stepmoms do foolish things like go on Facebook or go, you know, do these social media things where they're posting messages, me and my child, my husband and I and our son. Nothing will infuriate a mother more than to hear a stepmom say, this is my child, because it's not your child. And wouldn't that really make you furious? Look at it through the mother's eyes. This is her child. And nothing will make a mother bear's claws come out faster than for another woman to stake claim. You know, I have stepmoms that go to the school and try to be, you know, a parent, one of the volunteer parents in the class. Well, if mom's okay with that, then that's all right. But if she's not, if that's going to make her more angry, you need to step back and step away from that. If going to the soccer game or the baseball game makes the mom more antagonistic, more infuriated, more difficult to deal with, then stay away from those situations because it's putting the child in extreme tension. So sometimes the stepmom has to think of this through the mother's eyes and say, am I doing something that's throwing gasoline on an already existing fire? And that may mean stepping back and not doing some of the things she wants to do in order to keep peace.
So not only letting go, but realizing that you know, there are children, whether she's the biological mom or not, that their care and nurture needs to be a priority as well.
That's correct. It's the old, do you want to be right or do you want to have peace? Do you want to be right or do you want to be married? Do you want to be right or do you want to bring peace into the lives of these children? Often she's right to say, you know, I do their laundry, I do their carpool, I make their meals, I go get them their haircuts. Why shouldn't I be able to be in a mom-like role for them? And see, it's laying that down and taking the higher road and saying, if this is going to cause more stress and tension in the life of my stepchild, even though it's what I want to do and I feel I have a right to do, I'm going to lay it down to allow there to be peace. This doesn't mean you roll over and be a doormat and don't ever speak up. I don't want step parents across America hearing this and saying, she's saying I should never have a voice. That's totally untrue, but it needs to be between she and her husband, not she and the former spouse.
I appreciate Laura suggesting that people all across America are listening right now. That makes me feel good.
Laura, with the internet, that's true.
Isn't it? We're going with it. We're sticking with it. Laura Prethelbridge, international speaker and author of When I Do Becomes I Don't, Practical Steps for Healing During Separation and Divorce. She's also co-author of The Smart Stepmom. In fact, you can find out more on the website, thesmartstepmom.com, thesmartstepmom.com. Her latest is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. And we've got some more tips and some advice and some counsel. In fact, I want to talk a bit more about, you know, when the kids or others say hurtful things, and maybe that even in churches and spiritual insights that maybe get misappropriated. We'll talk about that coming up in a moment.
Thanks for joining us for the best of Connecting Faith. More in just a moment. Welcome back to an encore presentation, the best of Connecting Faith. On Faith Radio. This is a previously aired program.
47 past the hour. Laura Petherbridge with us today on Connecting Faith, speaker, author, and the latest is called 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. It's expert advice from one stepmom to another, published by Bethany House. Laura speaks on areas of singleness, divorce, divorce recovery, stepfamilies, spiritual growth. And I want to talk about that side of spiritual growth because I suspect that there have been times when people said hurtful things to you, and what advice would you give, maybe particularly as it relates to spiritual things as well, or a Bible verse or a position that can be difficult. What's your advice there?
It's been numerous times. I've lost count of the number of times I've had to remember that people were very rude to Jesus. You know, they said very rude things. They hurt him. They threw things at him. He was rejected. And a stepmom often feels extremely rejected. She feels outside the family circle. She feels like she's the one, you know, she's the one sitting outside the window looking in at dad and his kids. And so during those moments when I've had those feelings of rejection, or, you know, I don't really have, this isn't really my family, those feelings of feeling alone or isolated, I've really had to just go to God and say, you know what, Lord, you know exactly what this feels like. When you've poured into people, when you've tried to love them as much as you were capable of, you know, as God, obviously that was huge. But, you know, I've given all that I can, and it's still not enough. They still reject me. And so it's so comforting to know that Jesus understands that pain. He understands that rejection. And so for me, with the Holy Spirit living inside me, I've just prayed, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to understand that rejection and to not let it turn into bitterness or anger or revenge or retaliation. Help me to see them. This is what I've prayed. Lord, help me to see my stepsons the way you see them. Help me to love my stepsons the way you love them. Show me them as little hurt, wounded little boys that were wounded by the divorce of their parents. Because, God, I understand that. My parents divorced. I know how that feels. I know how scary it is, how fearful it is, how sad it is. Help me to see that through the eyes of a child of divorce. Even though now they're grown, they still carry some baggage from their parents' divorce. And I know that because I do, as a 58-year-old woman. And so it's the transformation of my mind. It's asking God to transform my mind and give me the mind of Christ so that I'm not seeing this through Laura's hurtful eyes and Laura's hurtful heart, but now I'm seeing them as God sees them. And that's the beauty of loving Jesus. That's the beauty of asking him to give us the mind of Christ. He's more willing to give that to me than I even am to have it. And what a beautiful thing it is. What a freeing thing it is when it's no longer me trying to love them, but the Holy Spirit giving me the ability to love them through his power, not my own strength, but his.
Now, you address in the book is kind of talking about, you know, understanding, evaluating yourself and those hurtful things, feeling rejected, that, you know, we can sometimes maybe bring some things on by enabling or being codependent. Say a word about that.
Yes, I, you know, when you look up the word codependent in Webster's dictionary, my picture is there. And I never thought I was a codependent because I have such a strong personality. I assumed codependents or enablers or people pleasers were all like really shy, weak, you know, frail people, and that's not my personality style. So I had no idea I was codependent until I was about in my 30s. And so all of a sudden when I recognized, Laura, you are the poster child for codependency, I realized that I was bringing that then into my stepfamily and trying to rescue everybody. I was trying to rescue people that I had no business trying to rescue and no skill or capability of rescuing. So that was a huge lesson for me, and it really was a turning point in my life, not only in my stepfamily, but in my job, in my ministry, with my own biological family. It's not my job to rescue them. You know, God's more than capable. He's been doing it for thousands of years without my help. I needed to learn how to get that healed within me. And often we stepmoms do that with our husbands. You see, I kept trying to rescue my husband from being the parent he needed to be. I kept stepping in, and that was preventing him from suffering some of the consequences he needed to suffer so that he would step up to the plate and be the dad he needed to be. And I kept intervening, and that wasn't healthy or loving. And so it was a long process of me learning how to get healed from this codependent, enabling way of thinking and believing that was love. It's not love. It's not mercy. It's not grace. It's actually destructive and toxic. And so, but that was a long journey, and I encourage any woman that's thinking like that to, I've got a couple chapters that deal with that in both stepmom books, to go there.
Good. TheSmartStepMom.com is the website. You can find out more about the books. Karen called in, left a note. She said, can we include a shout-out to those fathers who are very involved in the lives of their children after divorce? My husband and I are active in the life of his son. It's a shame that more fathers aren't recognized. I know you do spend a little time talking about the dads as well, but let's give some encouragement there.
Yes, and by saying this, I am not saying the dads that we're talking about are neglectful dads or absent dads. So if somebody's hearing that as a translation, that's actually just the opposite. Most of the stepfamilies that are dealing with this kind of turmoil are the ones where the dad is active, and that's why there's turmoil, because he's seeing the kids so much. So, yes, there are many, many fathers. My husband was an excellent father, paid his child support even before it was due, paid all kinds of extra bills that weren't even in the divorce contract. My husband was an excellent dad. In the supporting ways, it's the discipline and the being a solid parent where those dads often, they feel bad for their kids. And so, but yeah, there's a lot of wonderful godly dads that are very involved in their kids' lives, and that often is when the conflict in the stepfamily comes. And, for all stepmoms, whether they have a good supportive husband, I want to encourage them to consider attending a stepmom retreat that I do a couple times a year. So if I could just put in a plug for that and tell them about it. You find that at sisterhoodofstepmoms.com, sisterhoodofstepmoms.com, and that's a weekend getaway where we nurture and love on stepmoms, and we help them to come alongside their husband. We help them to learn how to love on stepkids that may be hurting. And it's for stepkids at any age, not just little ones, grown-up ones too. So I just want to encourage them. There is a place to come and find help and healing and hope and just some being around other stepmoms so you can be lifted up. It's not commiserating or being negative. It's all about being and just encouraging each other.
Any pierogies?
No, I don't do pierogies.
Okay.
Sorry,
right.
That's Polish.
Oh, it's Polish. Sorry. I was wrong. I was thinking Italian. Man, so I have to go meatballs or something, I guess. Anyway, all right.
The next one's at Ridgecrest in North Carolina, and you can't find a more gorgeous place.
Absolutely. And get a little pulled pork there. That'll be good. So, all right.
That's right.
Laura, we got a couple minutes left, and thanks for mentioning the retreat, sisterhoodofstepmoms.com, and to find out more about you and your writing, you can go to thesmartstepmom.com. But what would the kids tell their stepmoms if they had the opportunity? What would you recommend? Leave us with?
I think many stepkids would like to say to their stepmom, I really like you. I really love you. I view you almost as a big sister. I don't necessarily view you as a mom because I have a mom, but I view you as a special person in my life. And I view you as somebody that I can go to. Kids will often tell their stepparent things they won't tell their biological parent. I view you as someone safe, but I can't show that to you. I wish I could tell you that I like you or love you, but I can't, because that would be betraying my biological parent. And so I think there are tons of stepkids that would say, taken out of this context of stepfamily and put in a different scenario, I'd love to be friends with you. I'd love to spend more time with you. I think you're really cool and great, and I see all the little things you do for me, but I can't show you that. I can't tell you I love you. I can't wrap my arms around you, because that would be betraying my biological parent. And so there's lots of other things. I have a whole list of other things, but I think that's one thing a stepchild would love to say to their stepmother that they often don't.
And as we've talked about, you know, just that process of letting go and, you know, trusting the Lord and exhibiting love, mercy, and grace, those are good advice for all of us, regardless of our relationship situations.
Yes, and sometimes those stepkids, when they get older, they will come back and say that to their stepmom. Both of my stepsons have come to me and said, we were so bad to you, we're sorry, you know, I mean, and you know, we have a great relationship now. And a lot of times, like when guys go off to the military, I've heard so many stories of them writing home to their stepmom, thank you for loving me, thank you, I did stuff that really hurt you. And so it's not uncommon when they become adults and have children of their own that they come around and say, you know what, you were a great stepmom or stepdad to me, thank you.
Well, great advice today, and there's much more available in her new book, 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom, Expert Advice from One Stepmom to Another. Laura Petherbridge, international speaker and author, and she's written also When I Do Becomes I Don't, and you can find out more on the website thesmartstepmom.com or check out the retreat opportunity, sisterhoodofstepmoms.com. Laura, thanks for joining us today. It's great to talk with you.
Thank you so much for having a heart for stepfamilies. I appreciate it.
And check out the podcast online at myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page.